This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 23, where we're going to catch up on all the latest cloud news. Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Cole.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it. Hey, well, morning, AC.
Good day. How are you doing, CJ?
Very well, thank you. Very well. I guess it's morning when we record this. You know, you don't get that over the audio once we've published it. But yeah, AC and I record this in the morning, hence the good morning. If I sound a little sleepy...
And if I sound a little jacked up being 3 hours ahead of you and a lot more coffee in my system.
yeah, exactly. You've had 3 hours of wake-up time, more than I have. Mm-hmm. So how are things? How's everything going?
It's going good. I guess since we last recorded this, I had finished submitting another Pluralsight course, my SharePoint 2013 apps and spa course for Pluralsight. So that should be going live. Hopefully by the time this episode goes live, I'm still waiting to hear from them on when it'll go live. And immediately after submitting that, I took off for a week. And last week, I spent my first time in the nice sunny paradise of a day on Oahu and then 6 or 7 days on the Big Island in Hawaii.
Wow, that sounds nice.
It was awesome. We did...
You're getting me back for my New Zealand trip, aren't you?
Oh, hell yeah. I can rub this in, man. We did... everything. We went snorkeling, we went whale watching, we went through the rainforest, we climbed through a lava tube, we even sprung and jumped on a helicopter and did a chopper tour of the lava fields, the coast that had been expanded by the recent lava flows, saw the city that had been obliterated by a lava flow and then have them rebuild, which kind of funny, they can't get funding from a bank to rebuild their houses in a lava flow. Shocker.
Gee, what a surprise.
And then the cool thing was we actually flew over an active eruption. It's called a splatter cone because it's not one of the huge eruptions that you normally see like on TV where it's shooting it up in the sky. But kind of like if you looked at a washing machine and you saw the water kind of, you know, tumbling over each other, you could see that in a little hole of where the lava was. And you could see it kind of like spitting out of the hole, coming out up on the top and... oh my God, it was awesome. It was absolutely
awesome. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
That sounds really fun.
My family did it. Dan Holm, who lives in Maui, Dan Holm, another SharePoint IT guy. He flew over on Thursday. We hung out at the pool all afternoon, went out to dinner, and then spent the day doing an entire tour of going all the way around, driving all the way around the Big Island, and he jumped on the chopper with us. And we had it was awesome. It is.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Just a couple of days in Hawaii was beautiful. Just chillaxing and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good time. I already can't wait to go back, but now it's back to reality, and this week has been catching up and focusing 100% on our little startup Curb. So
yeah, excellent.
Yeah,
nice.
How about you?
Oh well, yeah, so this is week 3 of back at Microsoft, and I gotta say I think I need a morphine, codeine, OxyContin combo because my head is hurting.
Where are you working again?
Yeah.
Did you get that from the infirmary?
It's been really, really great. Like, don't get me wrong, it's been awesome, but man, oh man, there's just like, I've been away, you know, I was out of Microsoft 2.5 years, and there's a lot that has changed in that time, and I'm feeling like a dunce. Right. So there's a lot to catch up on, but that's been great. It was a really nice welcome and getting straight into it. So trying to catch up on everything and find out where everything's at and relearn my way around the beast that is Microsoft. So it's going really well though. But yeah, it's definitely only barely keeping my nose above the water.
Yeah.
Right now.
Lots of changes going on. I guess since you were last there, they ditched the stack ranking, which is the big, I guess, HR news. But then I guess so many things happened internally. 365 has become more of a platform since you've been there, and I guess
They can. There's been a lot of reorgs that have sort of rejigged the team. We've got a new CEO that's come in, and you know, Satya Nadella, and he's sort of cocking a leg and spraying all over the company to sort of put his own mark on things. So that's
Oh my god.
Yeah, sorry for the visuals, everyone.
Oh my goodness. I know we can't edit that one out. I just had to go silent for a minute.
So he's obviously, starting to make his mark on the company, and which I can only say is going down extremely positively, at least from where I'm sitting. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of that. And there's just a ton of change and a ton of things going on. So it's been fun, though. Really fun.
Yes, have a lot of stuff. I guess on that note, on the cloudy side, I'm expecting, and I don't think it's too much of a reach to say that, hopefully we see a lot of news come out next week out of San Francisco at the Build conference. So
yes, that will be really, I'm actually going to Build next week. If any of our listeners are down there, keep an eye out for me. That'll be really fun. Like, it's the first time I've been to Build. I went to a PDC years ago. Actually, I think we might have met there once upon a time.
Mm-hmm.
Build is one I haven't been to yet, and so I'm looking forward to going and seeing what's on the docket. They're very secretive about Build. I don't think there's even a session list out yet. So they keep all that stuff under wraps until a couple of days before the conference, I think.
I love that. If you're going to be able, so the whole idea of about a conference, you want to make sure that you can sell out all the seats. You don't want to have any, you don't want to have it be poorly attended. And, it seems like with Build, the last few, they sell out all the tickets within just a few weeks without, or even a few days or hours without even knowing what the content's going to be. So I personally love the fact that they don't publish the session list until, the weekend before the conference or the first day of the conference or something like that, because, then any of the stuff that's real news and breaking stuff, you can get it all that week, and you don't get all these people trying to do leaks ahead of time or trying to, massage the messaging, or people, going off the rails trying to figure out what the hell they're talking about and making up all this stuff, and you get confused with, what's real, what's not. If you don't have to publish the session's title and people are going to buy up the seats, by all means, go for it. You don't have to know about it early. I'd rather find out about it at the same time there's actually meat behind it, instead of getting these little teasers that kind of come out.
Yeah, exactly. It means that there's going to be good stuff that hasn't been talked about before.
Yep.
So I think it's a good positive thing. And there's also rumors about what's going to be revealed at Build and things like that. People are talking about new phones, and Mary Jo's reporting about Nokia doing something, things like that. So it'll be interesting to watch.
Mm, cool. Yeah, it'd be cool. It'll be our next episode should be really interesting. A nice, I guess, a recap from Build and some of the news that came out of Build. So
yeah, definitely. We'll try and keep note of those things and link off to that for people.
Cool.
Anyway, so on to the news. So this episode is just we're gonna rattle through a bunch of different topics here and news related items and catch up on what's been going on in the cloud world. There's been a lot of news recently, so how about you kick things off? And I'll go first, eh?
That sounds good.
So there's been some rumor and speculation again from Mary Jo. She's pretty good at this stuff. She's got a bunch of speculative posts in the last couple of weeks. One more recently that came out this week was around a rumor that Microsoft is going to rebrand Windows Azure to just Microsoft Azure, which doesn't seem all that alarming to me, but kind of I think will make sense, because Azure is becoming more and more about cross-platform and cross mobility story and things like that. So I think the Windows sort of moniker and the name is sort of less important than it ever has been. So this doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me either. It makes sense. It's what you would expect to have happen. I guess if you got to nitpick at stuff, it's just it would be nice if names stopped changing and branding stops changing for stuff. But I mean, it doesn't, this really doesn't have any bearing on it. It really is more indicative of what the product really is. It's not about Windows.
I mean, I've always called it Azure.
Same here. I've always called it Azure. And I've always, you know, you go Azure.com and you get redirected to WindowsAzure.com. And if you go do a search for Azure and Bing, it goes to WindowsAzure.com, which redirects you to Azure.com. It's like, who cares?
Right.
It's as long as they leave Azure as the name, that'll be okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely.
So yeah. I like it. Makes sense.
Yeah. We'll see. I guess it's at this point, it's just on Mary Jo's blog. As far as I know, I don't think there's been anything official.
Mm.
But I guess we'll see in the next... She's saying
this week,
the
I
next
think.
Few days. So yeah,
this week. Mm. So by the time we go live at the show, we're recording this on Wednesday, the 26th, March the 26th. So we generally record our shows on Wednesdays and then publish them the following Tuesdays. So that's why we try and keep that in context. It's always hard. You're talking about today, and everybody listens to
yes.
it. May not be today, but
true.
That's cool stuff. Yeah. So I've got one that'll pivot us a bit over to a completely different stack, and we'll come back to Microsoft in a bit here. But I don't know if you saw the news recently, but Google announced on their cloud story, their cloud compute, and I guess their Azure-like offering or AWS-like offering, they did some massive price cuts. Did you see this?
I did. They had a sort of a semi all-day event somewhere in the US. This past week, and I think that's where they announced all these things. But yeah, I did have a quick sniff through the release and saw they were doing a whole bunch of price cuts.
Yeah, they said the whole theme, and we'll have links to both Mary Jo's post we talked about a second ago about the rebranding, as well as the price cut blog post from the Google Cloud Platform blog, up in the show notes. But the whole idea is that they say, you know, hey, we've been saying how great, you know, hardware prices keep coming down. They've come down like 20-30%, and we're saving a ton of money doing implementing cloud stuff. We have got a third person or a third company now entering into the cloud wars, right? So we got to do our little theme music here for the cloud wars. But, you know, we always see Amazon would do a price cut, then Azure would respond. And then Azure would do a price cut, and then Amazon would respond. I can't wait to see what they do with this, because it looks like Google's trying to make a splash. Now,
yeah.
I'm not going to go into the details about what each one of these things is. We'll come back and probably do another show in the future about the different offerings and what they compare to. It should be a good idea to do a show. We could do a show on looking at the different offerings between the three different platforms and saying, you know, Azure calls it VMs and what do these other guys call it? And then vice versa. But the price cuts that they have I'll just throw it into like three or four different areas. They have something called Compute Engine, App Engine, and BigQuery. And the price cuts go anywhere from 30% up to 85%. So
that's phenomenal.
Yeah, their Compute Engine, they cut it by 32%. The App Engine, the cuts range between 30-50%. And BigQuery gets cut by 85%. Now, here's the two interesting things that I pulled out of their news. The first one is before, when they were doing virtual machines, they really focused only on the Linux side of stuff. But now they announced a limited support for Windows 2008 R2 virtual machines on their cloud. So, you know, we're a little bit back from what we use on the Azure side, where we can do 2012 stuff, I believe. But on the Google Cloud now, they support doing Windows Server based VMs with 2008 R2. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, no, so the big players have obviously been Amazon. You know, Microsoft has been, I feel, in this space has been sort of number two mm-hmm. for a while. Mm-hmm. And this to me looks like a really big plunge or step for Google, trying to make up for lost time and really trying to leapfrog.
Yep.
And that they're trying to do price wars to try and differentiate while they catch up on from a feature and functionality perspective. So it'll be interesting if it takes root. I kind of feel like that, especially companies are much more affiliated with a cloud provider based on who they feel comfortable with, not necessarily just their price.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see if their pricing attracts more attention.
It will be. I mean, you look at what some of the other price things they did. I did a little quick comparison here today. And they announced on their post as well, in the cloud storage, they're going to charge 2.6 cents This is in US dollars. So 2.6 cents per gigabyte. Now, if you compare, it's always hard to do an apples to apples comparison on the storage cost because everybody does a little different. And Google's pricing doesn't really nail it down by, is this like geo redundant or whatever? So I just took the lowest numbers across the board. The lowest price that Azure offers right now is 5 cents per gig. And that's if you do a pay as you go and not as a, what they call a sustained kind of a thing. Like Google has lower prices as well for if you have sustained usage. So it's like a 6 month kind of plan the way Azure looks at it. So with the same thing, the lowest price that I found for AWS was 8.5 cents per gig. So AWS is at 8.5 cents a gig. Azure is at 5 cents a gig. And now Google is saying we'll do the same thing for 2.6 cents a gig, which is half as much as what Azure's doing. So I think we'll see a little response to this from some other people.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, that's a big difference between, you know, 2.6 and 8.5, right? So that's a big range.
Yeah, that's a crazy big range. So, and of course, you know, I'm just going to qualify it. It's not clear from the post that they had, you know, is it, how redundant is it? Is it geo redundant? Is it locally, how locally redundant is it? What's the cost per accessing each item? Is it free coming in or what?
Yeah, what's the perf like, right?
Yeah, what's the perf like? So, you know, we don't know, but the pricing is still just enough to, it worked for me. It got my attention.
It's going to get the news.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah. So speaking of Google, staying on that topic, but bringing in a little bit of 365, there's a post by a guy called Derek Van Vliet. I think I'm pronouncing his name right.
Looks right. Yeah.
He's a big proponent of the Google Cloud Stack. And he's got a post called Google versus Microsoft, which platform is the real change? And the pitch of his article is basically saying he's rebutting this concept or this notion that Google is too big of a change for my users and that Office 365 is easier and more familiar. And so we'll link to his post off in the show notes. But what's interesting about this post is that I think his logic's completely flawed. Hey, I'll just throw it out there. Yeah. So basically, in a nutshell, he's saying, you know, with the 365 stack, you've got too many choices. You know, you've got all these different client applications. You've got the rich applications, you know, the client-based apps for Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, and Outlook, and so forth, as well as the mobile clients, as well as the web clients, and that somehow, that choice of, you know, ways to access it is detrimental to the platform and is confusing and painful for users. And that Google, you just have sort of one choice. And I won't get into too many arguments personally with this because there's another guy who's a Office 365 MVP called Sean McNeil who does a pretty good job of it. And we'll link off to his rebuttal as well. And he also talks about it in the comments of this post. But, you know, I think it's an interesting style argument to make, and he does have some good points, I think, in there mixed up amongst this, what I would consider utter claptrap. But have you had a chance to have a look at that post, and what do you think of it?
I'm gonna agree with you. I mean, I'm not the one with the blue badge, but I agree with you. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here. There's some stuff that's got some merit. But there's some stuff here that I look at. I mean, just his infographic that he put up is really misleading. I mean, he shows like for email, you have for the Google side, you've got the Gmail client, the web client, you're going to access stuff. But on the Office 365 side, he's got 7 different clients listed. Some of them don't make any sense at all to me. One of them is, first of all, he's got 3 different Yammer clients for email. You don't use Yammer for email. So I don't understand any of those. Then he's got 2 different Outlook clients, 2010 and 2013. Yeah. I'm like, you're not going to put, number one, you're not going to put either or on there. You're probably going to be, the only reason you're going to be putting 2010 on there is if your organization has not from centrally said, we support having a client based, you know, having the 2013 Office clients on your machine or we don't have a license for it, which you would if you were 365, but they just say, we don't do that. But
Yeah.
If you're 365, you have a license for 2013. I don't even know if you can get 2010, so you wouldn't even be using 2010.
And the other piece to this argument is a lot of Gmail, a lot of Google Apps users that I know connect it to Outlook anyway.
Yeah. And that was the other thing too. He's got a thing in there. He says like for mobile, there's no Outlook for mobile app. Like, that's because you don't need that.
Need one.
If I'm on Windows phone or on, and I don't know the Android stack, so forgive me, but if I'm on Android, or sorry, if I'm on the Windows phone platform, or if I'm on iOS, there's a Mail app, and I connect my Mail app to my Exchange, or my 365, or my Gmail. It's the same thing. So that's like an apples to apples thing. The two that I thought were, well, he's got four different categories between email, file, chat, and social. And I think they're all kind of funny. The social one, he says Google Plus. Then he compares it to SharePoint Online and Yammer. There's no public face to me. There's no public face to SharePoint Online or Yammer. That's Google Plus has both a professional and a personal side, and it's like it's almost like Facebook Plus. Microsoft doesn't have an equivalent to that in my mind.
Right.
Microsoft is more, it's strictly business. The chat one is a trip because, I mean, there's some merit to the chat where he says, hey, look, we only have Hangouts. Whereas Microsoft has three different link clients between desktop, web, and mobile, three different Yammer clients, which I guess you can do chat and Yammer, but I don't see anybody really doing it.
It's hard to, like, yeah, because surely if you're doing apples to apples, you're comparing a voice video and IM pieces of each platform, right?
Yep.
So Hangouts is obviously the bit on the Google App side, and you know Link is the one on the 365 side. So I don't understand how he thinks that a Link desktop client, a web client, and a mobile client is a drawback for users. The fact that you can take calls from wherever you want seems like a real benefit to me.
What about, I love the one, where's the one that's missing? The one that everyone uses that, I mean, there's more people that use Skype than any of these things. So like, where the hell is Skype in this whole thing?
Yeah, I guess he doesn't, it's not necessarily, it's not part of 365, right? So I think he's trying to say, you know, just what's in Google Apps versus just what's in 365. Loads of businesses use Skype.
Yeah. And
I totally get that.
The counterpoint to that is then when he talks about files, then why does he include OneDrive and OneDrive for Business? Because OneDrive for Business is going to be a 365 thing, right? But not just a regular OneDrive thing. So I don't know.
It's a very muddled, at least in my view, and I'm trying to stay objective here and not get too wild about this. But I just think I think the approach to the logic is flawed, and I would definitely sort of respect his argument a bit more if it wasn't so shambolic in his approach, and if it wasn't so muddled, and he was trying to make points about, you know, an apples to apples comparison, I'd have much more respect for the piece.
Yeah,
but go read Sean McNeil has a good rebuttal to it, and I think users. You know, he's the flip side. He's an Office 365 MVP, so he's kind of got, you know, he's the flip side style evangelism, right? Google versus a 365.
Mm.
And I'm sure they both got their biases. Of course they do, right? As I do too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Sean's point is, look, just do it from an apples to apples point of view. Don't be so all over the show and picking pieces here and there to suit.
Yeah, it would be nice to. I mean, the sad thing is that there was really a missed opportunity here, because there really is a good opportunity for someone to come in and do an apples to apples comparison between the two.
Right.
This one is more of a, I'm going to grab a cocktail, sit back and watch these two guys, watch the Google guy and the 365 guy. I'm going to watch them go back and forth, and I'm just going to, you know, cocktail. Can I get another set of nachos over here?
Yep.
So
it's kind of one of those arguments that you can't win, because it's when there's sort of no logical reason to to keep things on rails, it's you can never win it, right? So anyway, it's an interesting read in the fact that I just thought it was quite sort of hilarious, the approach, and it was also good to see Sean stepping up to bat for the other side and trying to call the BS where it was where he thought it was due.
Yep, I agree. So let's want to move on here. I got an idea. Why don't we, let's stick with the Office moniker or the Office theme, and let's talk about what the rumor is that's coming out tomorrow, which would be March 27th, which is we are finally going to see Office available on the iPad.
That is indeed the rumor.
Yeah, that would be
I think again, Mary Jo is talking about this, and she seems to think, or the rumor sort of says that Satya, the new CEO, is doing an event tomorrow, like a press event, and that he's going to talk about it then.
It'll be...
So fortunately, we only have to wait a day from when we're recording this to find out.
Yeah, exactly. We weren't going to push the recording a day. We're just going to... It's funny because they have a press event that's scheduled. Satya was going to talk in San Francisco, and he said something... The description of the event was something about office productivity and mobile. Really?
I mean, yeah. Well, Mary Jo has another article that she's followed up with since that one, which also talks a little bit about more what she thinks he's going to talk about with some other sort of mobility, enterprise mobility management products or suite of products. So we'll also link off to that. It's called Microsoft to Unveil Enterprise Mobility Suite alongside Office for iPad.
Mm.
So she's saying there's more to it than just that.
Okay. Yeah, it's still doubling down on the iPad, so.
Yeah, well, it's been rumored for a long time. I think almost 2 years now, maybe, something like that.
I can now see, I can say this because this is not an NDA thing, and you don't have to comment on it because you're a blue badge, but I've actually seen it.
Have you really?
I've seen it running on it by someone else who showed it to me that will remain nameless. It was not an NDA thing. It was not I'm not breaking anything by saying this. I'm just like,
right.
I happened to have seen it a couple months ago, and all those rumors about people saying, you know, they're just sitting on it or whatever. It's like, yeah, I can add to that rumor too, because it's like, it's long.
So it was a couple of months ago, was it?
Oh, it was a very long
time. I mean, there were screenshots, I would say almost like maybe a year and a half ago, that came out in blogs. Somebody had managed to, you know, take a screenshot or something of what they were reporting. I mean, it was like a splash screen. I can't remember actually seeing any apps, but I just remember seeing a screenshot in somebody's blog somewhere that of a splash screen of the thing starting or something like that. So,
yeah,
but that was a long time ago. That's interesting that you've
it was, you've seen it. It was interesting. The Outlook experience or the OWA experience. I mean, I know that there's an OWA app on for iOS, but it was the OWA base experience that yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it to me it looked just like a web a native implementation of what we see with OWA 2013. So
gotcha.
It'd be cool.
The interesting thing here is when this news Mary Jo published her article about the speculation, the Microsoft stock jumped 4.5%.
The worst kept
secret. So as a shareholder, I applaud you, Mary Jo.
You applaud the move that they're probably making to give her the news to do it.
Well, it's obviously been, you know, even at speculation, it's obviously pretty positive. People were pretty happy about hearing about it. So that's interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out soon.
We will. And that lets us stay on the Office and the iOS side, right? Because we get more stuff.
Yes. Big news, actual news as opposed to speculation.
Yep.
Like hard out news. That OneNote is now free. So it's no longer required sort of to go buy it, and that it's available for Mac OS X.
Yeah.
So there's actually a few pieces to this, right? There's the first up that it's free on all platforms. So you got iPhone, Windows Phone, Windows, and now Mac as well.
Mm-hmm.
I forget if there's an Android client. Do you happen to know?
I don't. You just, as you were just going through the all platforms, you were enumerating through it. I'm like, I wonder if he's going to say Android because I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I just haven't used it, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But the big one, the big new one was Mac, the Mac client.
Yep.
And then also at the same time, I guess that it's free, that there's a Mac client, and that it's got a set of APIs and service behind it. So this piece is about, there's OneNote.com, and behind it is a series of APIs that you can use to manipulate notebooks and things, OneNote notebooks, that's stored in OneDrive.
Mm.
So that's kind of cool because other systems can now integrate with it and push stuff in and out of OneNote. So for example, there's a service online called ifthisthenthat.com or ifttt.com.
Yep.
And they've got some actions that that can do things with OneNote on, and you know, so when you say, when you favorite a tweet, it can push it into OneNote, for example, and it uses the APIs behind the scene to do that. And that's really, really cool, I think.
Yeah.
A good one for me is Feedly to OneNote, because I use Feedly to read blog posts and things, and when I favorite stuff in Feedly, I prefer to go pump it into OneNote, because that's where I kind of, when I search OneNote, I want everything to come up.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and it's this is nice too, because a lot of these things, the APIs, they also gave us the ability to send an email to a OneNote notebook. These are all things that are, they're adding feature parity to the whole argument between OneNote and Evernote. So those of us that use Evernote is great. There are, now before we go there, there are a few things that, you know, the OneNote for the Mac OS client, there are a few things that there are some differences between what you can do on Windows and what you can do on the Mac OS. So it's not a full feature parity. We'll link to a good article in the show notes that talk about the differences. Like, you can't sync to Office 365. You can't sync OneNote documents on Mac OS from 365 or SharePoint. You can't work with just local notes. It has to work with those that live in OneDrive. There's some attachment limitations. There's some password protected pages limitations. But, you know, this for me, a couple months ago, I didn't make any secret of this, but a couple months ago, I switched from OneNote over to Evernote because I spend time in OS X, and I got frustrated with my notes only being available to me on a Windows platform or on my iPad. And so I went ahead and I was like, you know, well, let me take a look at it. Now, I've gotten the question a bunch in the last 2 weeks or last week since this news broke. Great time to be on vacation when news breaks and your phone lights up with all this stuff. But, I mean, there's the whole reason I switched was just because I wanted a native client on OS X. However, there are things that I found in Evernote that are very different than the way it works in OneNote. And it's worked more for my life, for what I use it for. Specifically, the tagging capability is just so freaking nice. It works more like a taxonomy than the tagging that you have inside of OneNote. And that's just a preference thing as far as I'm concerned. So
yeah,
works more for me.
Well, I definitely think, like, I think these plays are definitely aimed at kind of getting, a bit more of the folks that would go to Evernote in the consumer space, at least to begin with, right? So some of those limitations around it doesn't sync with 365 and SharePoint right now, that kind of doesn't matter for a student, right?
No.
Who wants to use it for their notes. But it does matter for all of us that use Office 365, and a lot of companies do have Macs that use 365. And so I think the OneNote team did a AMA on Reddit that we should also link to, because they address a few of these comments, and they've said things like, yep, we know about 365 and SharePoint and we're going to get to that. So it's definitely a sort of a step in the right direction, but they realize they haven't done everything just yet that people want, and we'll address those things in the future. Fingers crossed.
Yep.
So we should link to that, because it'll sort of mention what they're planning around that. Also on the API front, there's a really good blog post by the OneNote team, who have put out a post that details in a bit more depth, what API things they're going to be adding in the future, with a bit of a roadmap for their APIs. So there's a bunch of transparency around that that I thought was really cool to see. Because, you know, you look at the APIs and you're like, well, how do I go do this? How do I go do that? And you might find that you can do some things and you can't do other things. But at least now you can go take a look at the blog and see what they're going to be adding on the API front soon, or over the next, you know, wee while, and see if that's covered. So I definitely encourage people to go take a look at that. And like I said, we'll link to that off in the show notes. But yeah, I think the Evernote versus OneNote thing is sort of heating up, right? I mean, it's not been talked about all that much for, you know, over the last year. People have been like, yeah, OneNote's lagging, Evernote's better for me, or vice versa. And it's interesting to see this sort of this battle come back to life.
You know, this, if I'm not saying that it's a, the only reason I looked at Evernote was because I didn't have a native client on Mac OS, right? That's the only reason I ever looked at it. So had all of this stuff been in place prior to me making that change, this would have kept me in OneNote. This would have kept me from opening my eyes over to Evernote. And now that I know that I like the tagging more, I just knew that I would not have wanted to go through that whole pain. Before anybody asked me, I've already gone through and reorganized everything and flattened all my notes down to where everything is all tag-based and not page-based and stuff. So migrating from OneNote to Evernote is very easy. Migrating from Evernote over to OneNote, I think that that would, my expectation would be that that would be very challenging for me to do the way that I've set my stuff up.
Yeah, based on your tagging and taxonomy, that could get kind of complicated.
Yeah, and it's just because the two products work, they treat notes in a different way. So that's it.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, sticking with the Office and the OneNote or the Office and Mac thing, do you see the other news that's kind of, that is rumored by Mary Jo over, you know, sometime later this year? I guess it's not rumored. Was this announced?
Which one?
Or Mac Office.
Oh, Mac Office.
Yeah. I can't remember.
I remember hearing something about it in the last couple of weeks about her speculating there was another version coming maybe or something.
So what Microsoft has is we have Mac Office or Office for Mac or whatever it's called, but it's version 2011 and it's quite dated and it's okay. But I mean, Office 2013 for Windows is so much better. I mean, we're still the old version. It's got a ribbon-esque kind of feel to it, but there's so much stuff that's just is totally different on for Office for Mac Office 2011 than what we have in 2013, and. I can't recall if it was announced that it was going to happen or if it's, yeah, so it's a rumor. I think it's just a rumor that we're going to see, a new version of Mac Office, but it'll come out in fall of 2014 later this year. So that's another Mary Jo thing. And I'll make sure that we link to that too in our show notes.
Nice. Yeah. I think it's been cried out from a whole lot of Office users on the Mac platform.
Yep.
Such as yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to see an update. Yep.
And I think, yeah, it's been a long time coming. So hopefully, yeah.
So a lot of news, a lot of stuff been going on. We'll add a bunch of additional links here to the whole OneNote, Evernote thing. There's some stuff that I saw on PC World and some stuff on Lifehacker about them doing a OneNote to Evernote knockdown drag out fest that was a lot more fair and unbiased than the Google Apps and 365 thing that we talked about earlier.
Cool. Yeah, I saw that article, but I haven't had a chance to go through it and properly read it. And I think they're generally much less sort of fanboyish, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like they'll probably be a bit more balanced. So I look forward to reading that, and I'm sure, you know, it'll enlighten me about some things that each of them do that the other doesn't.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty fair. They did a good job with that. So.
Nice. Cool stuff. Well, that's a bunch of news and a bunch of things.
I've got a feeling we'll be doing it next week with all the stuff that comes out about Build. So we'll be having at least a part one, if not, or at least one show on that. It might be a two-part show based on what we see next week. So,
if you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.